Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment from yesterday. The more sympathy you give, the less you need. This is an expression of what we call being a social relief, as well as what you get is what you do. In the present, all our needs are met. When we're not present, we're living out ego's needs, which are far beyond legion. Taking care of oneself, choosing the fulfillment and satisfaction of this here now, frees us up to be sensitive to the needs of others. As we move to an orientation of compassion, we have the compassion for all beings. Today, notice how you seek to have your needs met by others whenever you're not present to the fulfillment of this year now. Record and listen. So we have our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Michael in Mountain View, California.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Sherry.
What are you seeing about this?
Well, what sticks out for me in that assignment is taking care of oneself. And I remember, Sherry, you talking about it frequently, that it's the most unselfish thing we can do. And it's just so great to have that experience, to know that when I am practicing and eating right and sleeping and exercising, that it's very fulfilling. And I feel like I come in to life taken care of. And so I am available, you know, to everybody, to myself included. And there's a strength and an ease and a presence that comes with that. And it's just great.
Uh-huh. Beautifully stated. And it lets us be generous, doesn't it? Because all of our needs are met. As you say, we're fulfilled. And so be there for somebody else? Sure, absolutely. Plenty of time and energy for that.
Yes, yes. And I remember being in a workshop years ago led by a monk, and the monk said something about, you know, that their job was to, you know, meet their needs. And it just struck me in that moment, obviously, because I remember it today, that's what we're doing. And when I'm not expecting somebody else, you know, to do that or resenting them because they're not, if everything is resolved here in this moment, then, you know, that's a social relief. That is a major social relief.
Right, right. Yes, and of course, for anybody who doesn't know yet the experience that you're pointing at, that we're not talking about lying around eating bonbons and watching movies or soap operas, right? Because what happens when we move into that, when ego is not guiding us and life is guiding us, then there is plenty of time and energy to do the things that take care of us, and life is never going to overburden us. It's just not. And even if we have a great deal going on, it's fine. There will be time and energy for that, and it will all, the unborn Buddha mind will manage all of it perfectly. So it's not like we need to do anything. We just need to stop being jerked around by ego.
Yes, yes. And, Sherry, that's such an excellent point. It reminds me of the last little point I want to make, and that is that I see the ways that ego distracts me, and there can be a tendency to sort of focus on those and try to get rid of them. And I think about what you wrote, I think it was in The Key, where you talk about, don't worry about removing stuff. Instead, just worry about what you want to add. So, you know, what do I want to focus on? And by adding what I do want, it kind of crowds out what I don't want.
Yes, 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 that's it exactly. Right. If we're doing all of the things that we do want, again, it's all managed perfectly. So I actually don't have time for those soap operas because this is the time when I exercise or this is the time, you know, I do yoga or meditate or whatever it is that I do to take care of myself. And part of that might be, you know, catching up with a friend or, you know, just doing something around the house. It could be anything, but that recognition that it's all for me and it is in service to life. That's what makes us available for life to use in the best way possible.
Yes, yes, exactly. And, of course, huge thanks to you and Ashwini and everyone who makes this possible. It's great.
Oh, well, and thanks to you, sir. We appreciate it. Oh, and while I have you, in particular, I could have this conversation with a lot of people, but you in particular, because you do understand this deeply. We are on retreat here at the monastery, and there are 13 marvelous souls who have come to join us to be on retreat and to take care of this exquisitely beautiful property that we have been blessed with. And it is, they are doing such an amazing job that the place looks better than it has looked in years. I mean, people have done things in one day, all right, one work period that we would never have gotten done this summer.
Wow.
So it's that that same kind of, because these people all took time away from full lives, right?
Yes.
To come here and make themselves available.
Sherry, I don't know everyone if Michael is having this experience, but you're cutting out for me. I can only hear every other word.
I'm strobing.
Michael,
is that true for you, Michael?
No, I can hear you fine. I'm hearing every word.
Okay. Must be me.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. You're strobing. All right.
I guess so.
Okay. So at any rate, it's all that same process of choosing what takes care of us and being willing to be used by life in a way that benefits all, and seeing how first we benefit, and then through that benefit, all benefits. And I just wanted to bring that in because of that, because they're the people who show up for practice, and that's us, right? That's all all of us, and to realize that it's our best demonstration of how doing what takes care of our hearts is the most generous thing we can do for everyone else.
Yes.
So, thank you for that.
It's true. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. See you soon, by the way.
See you soon. Yes. Yes, looking forward to it.
All right. All right. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael. Sherry, you know, that was really a powerful conversation about what it is that we let go of is just the negative conversation that so takes the energy. It's so my experience that when I'm not attending to that conditioned conversation about what's in it for me, or I don't want to do this, or when can I do what I want to do.
I'm too busy.
That there's just a way in which all the energy is just here. It's a difficult thing to train with, but it's so worth it.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's one of those things that, as with just about everything in practice or in life, we just don't get it until we have the experience for ourselves. And then when we have that experience, it's just so clear and obvious. So to keep practicing until we know that experience for ourselves, and then the voices really lose a lot of their power to talk to us about how we should be instead or what we should be doing instead or how it's selfish to be X, Y, or Z when other people are whatever other people are doing. We realize that dropping that conversation, life will guide us perfectly. Nothing to worry about.
Yes, and if you're in the service side of it, well, what's in it for me is how it really takes the energy out, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in being, turning our lives over to life, then we realize it's all service and it's all for me. I'm the lucky one.
Exactly. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Janet from New Hampshire.
Oh, hello, Janet.
Hi.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Sherry. I'm so glad that I got on today. So this was the perfect day for me to get on because conditioning kept telling me not to call in because I was not in a good space to call in, you know, and so it's perfect. So I'm sitting here thinking, I know I'm going to get on today because this is the perfect day to get on. So I love that.
And Janet, didn't that happen last time? Last time you called, wasn't it? It was different. It wasn't that you shouldn't call in because you're not in a good place to call in. But there was that kind of magic synchronicity to it that
Last time I called, Ashwini was you were on retreat or you were away. So this was the time before. So maybe it was maybe it was the time before. I don't remember, but I'm sure of it. So I've had like a run of days where like some big thing has happened each day that gives conditioning a full story of like, oh my God, do you believe this is your life? I can't believe this happened. And I won't even go into each one, but it was like Saturday. What is today? Thursday. Since Saturday. And I have been really practicing diligently because, I think that's why the voices have just gotten so loud. It's like, don't you hear us? And the one thing I want to say this content-wise is they're ripping our street apart. They're doing all of this sewer and water and all this stuff. So there's like this huge noise and big machines and, you know, it's hard to get out of the driveway.
Beep,
you have to negotiate.
Beep, beep,
yeah,
beep,
yeah. I've got
beep,
the windows
all
closed
day long
right now so you don't
until you
it.
Think,
yeah.
Uh-huh, they're
so,
trying, yeah.
You know,
I'm going to lose my mind.
You know,
I know the
feeling. I've been like, okay, well, I am here, so I'm going to be with this, but I just keep getting, you know, conditioning comes in like, you don't like this. This is not your normal. You like it nice and quiet. You're not going to be able to meditate. You're not going to be able to blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, it starts in the morning, so I start meditating. And what I've noticed is when I'm meditating, it's actually the noise from conditioning that becomes louder than the noise out in the road. That was so great to see. I mean, that was just, I had to just start laughing right as I was meditating. It was like, no, I don't even hear the noise anymore. You are so loud. So that was number one. And then this morning, this was the best. And I was thinking about the reading this morning with compassion. And I have started to, like, befriend the men out there who are working these big machines. And, you know, they love when I come down the street. They help me down, get into my driveway, and they'll help me back out, you know, for blocks to get out. And so this morning, I know my husband loves these big machines. He just thinks they're the greatest. So I said,
that's why we have them, unfortunately. Oh, no, sorry about that. Go ahead.
I said, so do you want to sit out on the front porch and, you know, we can watch them working on the street, eat breakfast? He was like, yes. And I sat out there and had the
You're
nicest
You're the most
time
fun in- wife ever. You want to sit on the porch and eat breakfast and watch big machines. This is a dream come true, right?
And the whole time I was sitting there, I was like feeling super generous, super happy, super in the moment, super like, you know, these guys are just here doing their job. And my job, and it's perfect because they're helping me do my job, which is to not listen to conditioning that wants to go crazy about them being here.
Yes. And in addition, in terms of content, they are also making sure that when you flush your toilet, it goes somewhere. And when you turn on the tap, water comes out. And those are separate issues. So they are actually, for all of their big machines and noise, they're also doing a tremendous service, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's been wonderful. And I've been taking that same, noticing how conditioning really wants to take all these separate events and make them into huge content that is just overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And yet it's really just that conversation, me being in that conversation, that is the only problem in any of them. And so I just keep seeing that over and over and over again. And I just am so thankful for this practice and for this daily show because, I'm listening every day and I hear things that have been said. Either you said or Ashwini said or someone who has called in said, and I love that. I love that that's what's in my head.
Yes. Yes. And you know, Janet, on the kind of little daily life, gosh, things can be annoying, scale of what you're talking about, that's one thing. But if we could really get what you're saying, the experience that you're describing, it is enlightenment. That there is only what is. There is only this. There isn't this which is wrong because that should be. When we drop that conversation, and what you're describing, I mean, if there's the two of you out there eating breakfast, watching the, this is extraordinary behavior. And yet, it's the kind of thing that old Zen stories are made of. Because it is so counter to ego, to the voices, to conditioning, to the campaign to make things wrong and hate it and be miserable by it, to be able to, here's the entertainment. This is what's here to enjoy, right? And to have that attitude in every moment with whatever is going on in life, that's freedom. That's joy.
Well,
so it's much bigger than your road crew.
Yeah, that's so cool because that's exactly the word that comes to mind is freedom. And now, having had that experience so many times now, I can see so clearly when I am not in freedom. it's like, and that's what you've been talking about. Pick up the recorder. Why am I feeling like this? I know where I am. Exactly.
Yes, because the other point, Janet, that you made that is so incredibly important for everybody who does practice, really to get that the noise, the distraction, the disruption, the unhappiness is always happening inside our heads. It is never what's going on externally.
Boy, I see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's always because just what you said, it's always because this should not be happening.
Yes.
That's
my better idea is what should be happening and life is really letting me down here. And I gotta be
unhappy. Yeah, it's like how many days in a row can something go wrong? It's like, well, obviously a lot.
Yes, yes. Obviously, as many as it takes for me to get it. Right?
Yeah,
that's how
and
many.
Then here I am just laughing on the phone and calling in, and so that's why I said this is the perfect day.
Perfect
all,
day.
All the way around. So it's all it's all good.
It really is. It really is. Thank you so much, my dear.
Yeah, thank you so much for everything, you guys. Amazing. I'm just loving this year. So thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you to everybody, too. Just everybody to know that everything everyone says, I listen to and take it in. So that's why I say I'm hearing all of you in my head.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, so
right. And what a better group to hear in our heads than that group that used to be there.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Janet.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It is so true that the noise in conditioned mind is so much more loud than any other noise that you ever feel unhappy about.
Yeah, the biggest machine in the world can't compete.
Yes. Well, and I think part of the reason is that it can be so subterranean.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. I'm participating, right?
Yes.
If I'm participating with that noise in my head, then it's I'm not aware of it, but it's really loud.
Yeah, and persistent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air.
All
right. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hold on one moment.
Hello?
Hold on.
I think I heard, hold on one moment.
Hold on one moment, please. Can you hear me?
Yes.
How about now?
Perfect. Yes.
Hello? Okay, sorry about that. Wow, I was listening to the whole call on my phone, and then I came on. This is Brad giving you a call from Annapolis, Maryland. How are you both?
Hello, Brad.
You know,
hey,
I just... Hello, Schwinney. I just wanted to offer an experience I had last night. I know a lot of people on this retreat have put down their animals recently. And my wife and I had a lovely little black pug that was just, she was such a wonderful dog. And I've had this experience more and more. And since I've been really practicing, I noticed one of the things that I deal with in terms of my grief, which seems so incredibly beautiful at the time of death, is my level of presence. There is something about the process of loss that brings me so much back to the present that I've had these incredible experiences where I thought something magical was happening, when what I kind of realized was everything in my head was being dropped and I was there for it. I just thought I'd mention that because it was so beautiful last night. You know, this dog meant so much to my wife and I. There I was in self-compassion to myself that I could be any way I needed to be in dealing with the loss of this animal, that it was okay for my wife to be how she was, that it's okay if other people see that I cry, and just to be with that. And everything around was so silent and so beautiful. It was just... It was quite the experience.
It gives us a sense of how we could be all the time. Right?
Yes. Yes.
So what if it's always all right for you to be exactly as you are? And what if it's always all right that your wife is exactly as she is? And what if it's all right that our loved ones are with us and then they're gone? What if that's all right? Not something we're excited about, I'm not saying that, but that we understand that this is how life is. And when we love, we open ourselves up to a whole lot of emotion that we would trade for, in my opinion, a lot of much less desirable emotion if we didn't love.
Exactly. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you in regards to that. And actually, I was, so, you know, one of the things that's kind of dropped in for me is one of the things that creates such beauty and such love is the fact that these things are impermanent. All of it's impermanent.
Yes.
When you look at plastic flowers, you know, we inherently don't like them for a reason, you know?
Yes, I do know. I went right there. They have the potential to last forever, right? But it doesn't do the same
there's
thing
something
to
cheap
our,
about
our
it,
heart.
You know? Yeah. There's something spiritually cheap about a plastic flower. Yet, whereas if we have something that reminds us of that impermanence and how beautiful that is,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, not to get too morbid, but when people seem to be into trophy hunting, what they always love to do after they kill the animal is take their picture with it. And I feel like saying, well, the reason why that animal is so beautiful to you is because you can't hold it. You can't grasp it. It is there, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's not something you conquer. It's impermanence and, you know, its elusiveness is one of the things that makes it so beautiful. So anyway, those are just kind of things that drop in here and there.
Yeah.
And I just thought I'd mention.
Well, to me, Brad, what you're pointing at and what you're experiencing, sharing with us, is all of the insights that come together when we are in a place of being so open as you are right now. This ego is not there. Ego's not talking to you nonstop and running the show. And so there's an opening for life to be there and offer you the wisdom, the insights that it can't get through to us in other times.
So,
yeah.
And one last thing. I noticed that with this it's like, well, I originally had this experience years ago before I even came to Zen, this being present with the loss and not realizing that was the peace probably that I was experiencing. But now I realize that's simply all it was, but yet at the same time, that's everything as well.
Yes.
Kind of a real Zen way of saying it.
Yes,
you know
well,
I'm
exactly so. And you know, Brad, very much what we were talking about with Janet. Right. If there's nothing left over, starting with us, there is only this, then there is the perfection of this. It's when we get identified with ego and step back and get into that dualistic conversation, that's where the trouble begins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it does seem to me, again, you know, there's so much I don't know, but it does seem like, so for Catholics, Phil, you know, was telling me about this years ago, so maybe all Catholics know this, I don't know, about consolations, that the understanding is that periodically God just gives you something that will keep you going. Because otherwise there can be spells that are so arid and or so difficult that people will just give up. They'll lose faith. And so they're offered consolations, which I always thought was such a fascinating explanation for how life works. And sometimes I think that what you're describing is an experience of that. You know, that periodically we're just brought so into the present that ego can never take it away from us again in the same way.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for taking my call, the both of you.
Oh,
I hope you both have a wonderful
Brad.
Day.
Thank
right.
you. And you.
Take care.
And your
Thank
lovely
you.
Wife as well.
All right. You got it.
All right.
Thank you.
Take mm-hmm. care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brad. And Sherry, what a wonderful way to end our show. It's the assignment for the day. It says, I would rather feel compassion than know the meaning of it. What a clear encouragement to get out of the head and get into the heart. A very good way to practice that movement is to experiment with acting on what drops in as compassionate thoughts, words, and deeds so we can feel how they feel. As we become more familiar with how compassion feels, we can turn attention to that feeling of compassion and realize compassion is feeling the feeling of compassion. Today, explore how compassion feels and record and listen.
Well, gosh, I feel like I'm already there. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It is.
Take
present,
that into the day, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, it's what we're talking about with Brad. There's mm-hmm. just, and we were actually talking about in group yesterday, there is nothing left except this, however
yeah.
this is. And being
yeah.
with this in compassion is compassion.
Yeah.
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 Mm. All right. Well, we will
well,
talk
thank
to everybody.
You.
Thank you. Take care, everyone. Take and treasure yourself and go happy.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.